Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
My old roommate, Barney, was always very shifty. Over the 3 years I lived with him while attending graduate school together, he changed programs twice, had countless hobbies, friends, jobs and internships. It became evident Barney was evasive toward commitment, while being extremely susceptible to cutting corners and finding the easiest way possible to get something done. Barney always had a bad weight problem, which was ironic, given he actually switched to studying hospitality. Granted, he was extraordinarily lazy, Barney never shied away from a challenge he thought would put him in a good light, especially if it meant proving someone wrong. These particular instances were the only times I ever saw Barney truly motivated. However, it didn't stop him from finding the easiest way possible to complete his task. Barney accepted his greatest challenge at our usual diner we frequented after a night of drinking. Of course, Barney's order occupied a whole quarter of our table, and he showed no shame while joyously stuffing his face, like he was racing against the clock to finish his food. "You're going to the electric chair after this?" our friend Dennis jokingly asked Barney. Our clique was tight enough where we could openly joke about each other in that manner. "You can barely fit in the booth. We're going to have to grease your fat ass up to get you out." Barney sneered in between mouthfuls of meatloaf, chicken tenders and cheesy bacon fries. "You know I always have to go out when I come here," Barney replied nonchalantly, taking a lengthy slug of his soda. "Especially after nights like this. Need something to absorb the booze so it doesn't come back out the way it went in, you know?" "I don't think that's how it works," I replied, causing everyone sitting at our booth to chuckle. "If anything, overeating along with a night of excessive drinking is only exasperating what you're trying to prevent." "And you're studying dietetics now, aren't you?" asked our friend Lacey, who sat across from Barney. "Isn't it a little contradictory?" Barney paused mid-chew, fixating his stare on Lacey. "You being in the university's hospitality program is like a hunter owning a deer sanctuary, I think is what Lacey is saying," I added in a slow, awkward tone, which got nods of agreement from Dennis and Lacey. Barney swallowed his food and stared blankly. "You definitely don't practice what you preach," I added, "and I don't think you have the willpower to change that." Barney's eyes lit up. "You don't think I can drop this weight?" Barney asked slowly, his eyes narrowing at me. "We know you can't," I quickly replied. "You've always been one to try and disprove us when we doubted you in the past, but you're almost 300 pounds, dude. Your mass is the one thing about you that's never changed since we've known each other." Barney wasn't insulted, but appeared intrigued by what I was alluding to with my remarks. "So, what's in it for me if I accept this task?" Barney asked inquisitively. "A longer, healthier life?" Lacey replied sarcastically. "Between the obesity, drinking, smoking, and whatever else you do, you're not making it past 40. We laid out the terms upon returning to our apartment. Barney weighed in at 289 pounds. He was given 100 days to lose 40 pounds, a task nobody thought Barney would take seriously, let alone accomplish. I did my part to help by disposing of all sugary or fattening foods and beverages, i.e. about half our cabinet and refrigerator. Barney admittedly struggled, acclimating to his new diet, and actually gained 2 pounds after the first 7 days. I thought the first week's discouraging results would be it for Barney, and was baffled when he stayed committed. The next Monday, when Barney picked me up from the police station, he claimed to have gotten a new, quote, special supplement, and bragged about how it would melt away the pounds. To clarify, I was in my university's forensic program and interned at the PD's toxicology division. My old colleague, Britt, you've never met her before, hooked me up with something. She wasn't really supposed to, and my insistence was relentless, but it's definitely what I need to start making progress. Barney enthusiastically gloated. What is it, like something they're still researching? I asked. Barney smirked. All I can say is it's completely organic, he replied confidently. Over the next 3 weeks, Barney slimmed down impressively fast without changing much of his diet or doing much, if any, exercise. When Barney weighed in at the 1 month mark, he already lost 29 pounds. Another 2 weeks passed and Barney lost 12 more pounds, which, when factoring the 2 pounds he initially gained, brought his net loss to 39 pounds. He reached his goal in just 6 weeks. I didn't know what Barney was taking, but the pounds practically started melting away, just like he said. Barney did experience some side effects, like dark bags under his eyes, vomiting, constant bathroom trips, and sharp, paralyzing abdominal pains. He constantly complained about feeling weak and tired. Sometimes he couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. I became concerned about his health and even tried convincing him to stop taking whatever he was on since he reached his goal. But Barney couldn't be swayed. I'll be better soon, don't worry, Barney weakly replied one day when he was bedridden. I tried prying further, but Barney gave me an attitude, which is where I drew my line. It was his life after all, so who was I to impose? Days later, Barney was completely rejuvenated and filled with an infinite supply of energy, despite continually losing weight at an alarming rate. Not only did Barney shed up to 60 pounds after 2 months, he even started attending our building's gym regularly, sometimes for hours on end. I hoped Barney would stop after hitting the 100-day mark, by which he lost as many pounds. He was completely unrecognizable if you hadn't seen him the last 3 months. Barney started putting on muscle and was in better shape than any of us. Although Barney's physique improved immensely, his persona altered drastically, and the side effects persisted. He still had all the energy in the world, but his abdominal pains, vomiting, and diarrhea worsened. He was also starting to exhibit erratic mood swings, acne breakouts, and insomnia bouts that sometimes kept him up for days. Despite his drastic weight loss, Barney also cleared our cabinets and refrigerators to satisfy his growingly unyielding appetite. My suspicions were confirmed while going through his bedroom one day when he was out, where I discovered vials and syringes containing a cloudy yellow substance. Between the nature of his side effects and remarkable physical transformation, it became abundantly clear Barney was using steroids. After 4 months, Barney was all muscle, but started losing mass. He resembled an action figure with toned but narrow limbs and broad, bulky torso that his legs seemingly struggled to support. Whenever you talked to him, it was a dice roll whether he'd give you a normal response or explosive tirade. He pushed away a lot of his friends, and even dropped out of grad school so he could solely focus on exercising when he wasn't eating everything in sight. My final straw was when Barney threw a chair at me after I ate my own takeout leftovers that he wanted for himself. I started staying at Dennis's place or searching for a new apartment. I only returned every 3 to 4 days to collect mail and incrementally pack my belongings. 2 weeks passed since I started distancing myself from Barney, when I ran into his old colleague, Britt, the one who gave him the steroids on the subway. I was naturally resentful for her role in Barney's alteration and didn't hold back when she asked how he was doing. "Just because you're both in dietetics doesn't mean you people know everything," I snapped. "That junk you gave Barney completely messed him up." Britt didn't say anything at first and gave me a bewildered stare. "What are you talking about?" she replied firmly, being clearly offended at my accusations. "I haven't seen Barney in months." "That's bull," I hissed back at her. He distinctly said he got something from you just a few months ago to help him lose his weight. He specifically mentioned your name and said you, his colleague, gave him whatever he's... Barney and I haven't been colleagues since the fall. Britt barked at me. He stopped by the lab a few months ago to say hi, but that was it. Barney changed focuses 5 months ago, and we were only in the same program for 8 weeks. Britt didn't give me a chance to respond and stormed off the subway cart. Part of me still didn't believe her, whose reaction I initially perceived as defensive. Coincidentally, I was going to my apartment when we ran into each other. It had been about 10 days since my last visit, and I still had to return periodically for my mail until I found somewhere else to live. While walking to my apartment, I kept thinking about how vehement Britt was after I called her out for giving Barney those steroids. After replaying the situation in my head, perhaps I mistook a defensiveness for genuine exasperation from facing such a ferocious accusation. Some doubt creeped into my mind, wondering if it was possible I accused her of something she didn't do and just made a complete ass of myself. I dismissed the notion as I entered my building and headed straight towards the mailboxes, only to find mine was empty. Although we weren't really talking, Barney sometimes took my mail whenever he checked and put anything I received in my bedroom. Of course, this meant I now had to go into the apartment and risk running into him during one of his sporadic mood swings. Before entering the apartment, I pressed my ear against the door to listen for any sounds of movement. It didn't sound like he was home, but upon stepping inside, I heard a loud crunching that coincided with my footsteps. Looking down, I was stepping over shards of shattered pottery. As the door shut behind me, I surveyed my surroundings, seeing the apartment was a mess. The air contained a rancid aroma, like a combination of stale urine and that distinct odor you'd associate with a barnyard. Stacks of dirty dishes filled the sink and covered the entire kitchen counter. Piles of pizza boxes and takeout containers were clustered in the main room. Broken glass and porcelain littered the floor, and nearly every piece of furniture was overturned or out of place. Pulling my shirt collar over my nose, I reminded myself that I was only here to get my mail and leave. My bedroom door was slightly ajar, not completely closed like I left it the last time I visited, meaning Barney had since entered my room. Hoping all he did was drop off my mail, I was about to step inside when I heard a rustling noise, accompanied by a loud thump coming from Barney's room. His bedroom light was on, and a low grunting noise started emanating from inside. Knots formed in my stomach upon realizing Barney was indeed home, making me want to get out of there faster. I was about to quietly enter my bedroom when Barney made another, louder grunt that morphed into a groan. I stopped, feeling obligated to check if he was alright, since Barney sounded like he was in some degree of pain. Barney groaned again, this one much louder and sounded more agonizing as I crept towards his bedroom doorway, hesitating before calling out to my ex-roommate. "You alright, Barney?" I asked while slowly pushing Barney's door open and poking my head inside. The image I saw will forever be cemented in my memory. Barney's room was derelict. His bedroom air hung thick with that putrid odour, which was so strong I almost retched and underwent a brief spell of intense lightheadedness. Barney was unrecognisable. He lay on top of his mattress, which was covered in thick brown, greenish yellow and dark red stains. He was completely nude and underwent an appalling bodily dysmorphia. Barney's limbs were abnormally frail, like they'd been drained of all muscle, fat and reduced to skin and bone. The same went for his face, which looked eerily skeletal. Barney's lips and skin around his eyes were blackish purple, contrasting fiercely from his sickly, greyish pale tone. Every ounce of mass Barney's body appeared to have lost looked like it collected in his profusely swollen abdomen that resembled a beach ball sized boil on the verge of bursting. An elaborate web of black and dark blue veins covered the blotchy dark red surface of Barney's massively bloated abdomen, from which pus, blood, and other fluids oozed out of its small, slit-like opening. What was most unnerving, and why I didn't immediately bolt out of the apartment, were Barney's wide, agony, and terror-filled eyes. He was still alive, still enduring whatever unspeakable excruciation this morbid deformed state imposed upon his body. Whenever his lips parted, it seemed Barney could only emit those harrowing grunts and groans. His face became more animate when I appeared, my stomach churning when Barney's limbs started nudging, making these squirmy, twitch-like movements that looked alien and unnatural. While I was absolutely repulsed, Barney was clearly signalling he wanted to tell me something. "Barney, what?" I shakily gasped, struggling to form a sentence. "What did you do to yourself?" Barney was about to respond, but his face soured as he tightly shut his eyes and grit his teeth. His neck strained back, limbs stiffened as a gargling grunt slowly escaped his lips that escalated into a scratchy bellow of sheer agony. My eyes were drawn towards Barney's inflated abdomen, whose surface appeared to start bubbling and shifting, like something inside of it was moving. My attention returned to Barney, who started spewing pure gibberish in a weak, raspy voice. I couldn't understand a word he spoke, but his face's expression indicated Barney was talking through the crippling pain and desperately intent on relaying whatever he was trying to say. The only words I understood were his last two. "Inside me." Barney succumbed to the retching pain enshrouding him as he sharply bent his neck back again and released another groan that quickly escalated into a shrill, bellowing shriek. His limbs completely outstretched, I froze in place and watched in horror as Barney's abdomen began to split open. A popping, tearing noise filled the room, while pus, blood, and other coloured fluids spilled out from the widening cavity, followed by what I thought were his entrails, but was something else. Something alive. Slithering out of Barney's abdomen was a worm-like creature. It had a flat, narrow body that was greyish-white in colour, about as thick as a Sharpie marker, with light brown, stripe-like ridges running horizontally down its backside. Its bulb-shaped head was about the size of a golf ball, which, from a series of smaller tendrils, protruded and swayed lazily, seeming like they were waving at me. Barney's inflated abdomen swiftly shrunk as the creature, along with pus, blood, and other fluids, were discharged. I was mesmerized by its length, trying to estimate how many feet this thing measured. 5, 6, 7, 8? The creature slithered across the floor for a few seconds, looking like it was getting a grip on its bearings, before making an abrupt turn towards a nearby ventilation shaft. The creature morphed its body to fit through one of the cover's openings until it was out of sight. Barney was motionless, his outstretched stick-like limbs surrounded by the blood, pus, and other fluids coating the mattress and pooling on the floor. His eyes remained widened and mouth hung open, like his thin, bony face was frozen mid-scream. As soon as I retained the ability to move, I swiftly pivoted and vomited profusely in the hallway, before staggering out of the apartment and calling the police. I found out more details in the following weeks through some contacts at the police department. It turned out Barney did in fact get what was making him lose so much weight from Brit. However, it wasn't the steroids, or something willingly given to him. I learned Brit is actually studying parasitology, and a few months ago was conducting extensive research on tapeworms. Nobody knows exactly how, but Barney made an impromptu visit to Brit at a lab, during which he discreetly swiped a live sample. That explains why Barney lost so much weight without exercising or changing his eating habits, and why he consumed everything in sight during those final weeks. Nobody ever found out where he got the steroids from, but Barney probably thought they would offset his weight loss and fatigue brought on by the tapeworm's presence in his body. Although they improved his physique, the steroids, which were an unidentified homemade batch, caused unprecedented mutations in the tapeworm, like its monstrous growth. According to Barney's autopsy, all of his bodily organs were missing, making me believe the parasite consumed them before vacating his body. I don't know if anyone ever found the actual tapeworm I saw burst out of Barney's body. I imagine it didn't survive long afterwards. But the thought of that thing alive, searching for a new host, still keeps me up at night. I always wonder if I was ultimately responsible for Barney's death, since I challenged him to lose weight. Perhaps he was doomed either way, since his grossly unhealthy habits probably would have condemned him to a short life anyway. Like I said, Barney went to great lengths when challenged to disprove others, and the last thing he ever did, to the most extreme extent.